So you know when you just walk on a main street, right, and people sitting at the front of a cafe having a coffee, and you just overhear like 10 seconds of their conversation max. That's probably generous. Maybe you overhear like 5 or so seconds, right?
Yeah.
So I'm walking, and there's these two middle-aged guys talking, having a conversation over a coffee. One of them, slightly overweight bloke. The other one, just a normal-looking guy. Anyway, the overweight guy, this is all I overhear him saying, right? He goes, yeah, back when I was a junior, I was a little kid, they used to put me in the ruck just because I was bigger than the others, you know? But I reckon if they put me off half back, somewhere where I could see the game, I would have been a lot better.
So bro's blaming his coaches. He could have been like, something.
I was the big kid, but if they actually put me where I had my skill, I had vision, I could read the game, bro, I would have been so much better.
That's every guy talking about their football career. If right. I hadn't broken my thumb under 12s, bro, and I got that hand pass, mate, it could have changed for me. Mm. Changed.
If I didn't have social anxiety, oh, man, yeah. I would have been
if I wasn't absolutely shit at the game, I'd be really good.
And if I was tall and athletic,
yeah,
natural and fast gifts. And natural gifts and practiced every day, if I did all that, mate, if I had all that.
If I could ping goals in off one step from 50, mate, forget about it.
There's only one man apparently in the world who can do that, according to this guy. And that's Charlie Kerner.
That is.
But that was back in the day. Like, that was just, that was a requirement to be a full forward. If you can't off one step kick a goal from 55, 60, like,
it's
get out of here.
Different time. Men were made differently back then, man.
True.
They had their veggies back in the day, right? They didn't have information
spinach,
in the knees.
Spinach cans.
That's it. That's fair. You know, nowadays they're just having like, you know, little chicken tenders. They're having the dinosaur nuggets.
Yeah.
That's what they're eating these days, kids. You know what I mean?
All the aisles of chocolate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No one's having broccoli anymore. It's out of fashion.
Yeah, where's broccoli gone?
I don't know, bro. I don't know. We've got to bring broccoli back.
They made broccoli white. It's even worse.
Bro. Anyway, man, that was interesting one, Dino.
Thanks,
but that's be fair. Let's be fair. That's all of us. It's like in the Premier League joke, you know, I had trials at West Ham. You know what I mean? That's the, you know, I had trials at Man United. I was a West Ham youth player.
And it cracked me up. Like, I was actually laughing out loud when I knew they couldn't see my face. I just was like, man, this is the funniest thing. I wish I could just walk back, pretend I forgot something and just listen again.
Yeah, bring the equipment down and, you know, let them record the conversation.
Oh, shit.
There we go. Hey, this week was a good week. Of footy, man.
Oh, for some, not others.
Like, for some, you know, it was a great week.
There was a lot of kind of underdog stories this week, wasn't there?
The other underdog story
some you would say underdog, some a logical tip, but anyway.
Yeah, 100%. But you know who were underdogs, mate? AFL Enjoys were underdogs. We got to 200 subscribers,
hey,
mate.
Round of
you know, that's it. Well done. If I remember, I'll put the crowd noise there. Probably won't, though.
That's a good one.
Shout out to the dudes who subscribed. There was just guys that I met at a Bucks. But, you know, regardless of that, you know, that it's
guys.
much appreciated.
Thank you, everyone, for coming along on the journey with us.
Yeah, that's it. We're trying to plan to do something for the 200 subscriber special, but we haven't come up with anything. So, I don't know, maybe next week we'll try some.
Maybe next week, or maybe just shoot for 1,000.
Shoot for 1,000? You know what?
We'll do something actually big for that.
Yeah, look, 100, maybe 500. 500, that middle part.
Look, there's
right
a bit
there.
There's a bit to go between 200 and 1,000.
Actually, you know what? We were saying a live commentary of a game. If you would want to watch that, let us know.
Yes.
And well, Carlton North is coming up. It's a good opportunity. Are you here? Are you in Melbourne?
No, we'll go in person.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, I think I am.
We've got to go to that.
Go in person. For sure.
Yeah, true. So maybe that might be it. That might be the go. You know, we'll keep you guys posted. But yeah, thank you very much for helping us get to 200, man. It feels good.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. I think we'll jump into the first game, I reckon.
Yeah, we're trying to delay it a little bit, but yeah, sure, okay.
Yeah.
Got to give some flowers.
We got to give some flowers. Oh, we do too. Oh, you're right.
The first game is
Essendon.
Mate. That's just wanting to skip it entirely.
Yeah, you know. So, North versus Gold Coast. Yeah. Here's the thing, right? So, they come up against Collingwood. They just lost to Gold Coast. You know what I mean? So, it's like...
No credit.
So, are we really going to...
On behalf
Collingwood's not even in the eight, bro.
On behalf of our good friend and loyal listeners over here,
yeah.
I'm just going to slap you right now and just say, Matza, flowers time. Come on.
Now, flowers time. We got to do it. Look, the first person I'm going to give flowers to, right, is a dude who... I'm not sure if it was his best game, but whenever I do see this dude out there, I'm like, this is one of the highest IQ players in the game. That's Langford, man. That's one of Dino's.
He loves a medium forward.
Apparently.
He loves a medium forward.
Apparently. So Georgie in the chat, he's like to me, hey, Matza, you love a medium forward. And I'm thinking to myself, who? Which medium forwards have I said, you know, like the third tall? Which third talls have I been like, oh, I love that guy?
You know what I've noticed about, like, sometimes, James, you can't notice this about yourself, right?
Yeah, of course.
You need your friends to notice things about you, right?
Is this an intervention? Like, bro.
No, there's nothing wrong. You can like Langford if you like, bro. It's fine. You know, you don't have to like Dacos and Creeps. You can like Langford. It's fine. What I'm saying is, so, Matza, typically, in my opinion, you typically like the more stockier, like tall type players. When you
stockier, tall guys. Look,
when I think of players I like, it's always midfielders, right?
Okay.
I don't give the flowers to the Langfords. You know what I mean? You like the Shannon Hearn types. You know what I mean?
He's not a third tall though.
No, but he's a bald head defender. You know, he's not sexy. You know what I mean? He's not sexy. You're creating sexiness for players that need to be created sexiness.
That's why we're giving flowers. Yeah, we're giving flowers to people who deserve their flowers that don't get talked about a lot.
It's funny,
like
right.
Will Day, every week, he's getting his flowers. But Will Day's sexy though. That's the problem. Yeah. That's true. That is true. He doesn't need the flowers.
It's funny because anyway. This came up when I was with Matza. The whole like, what? It kind of, we were just saying like, why did George say that he froths medium forwards? And I was genuinely trying to think of any other medium forward that he's
like
praised.
Who? Like, you know what I'm
since
thinking?
Since I've known him and he's never credited anyone.
Nah, is it Waterman? Is it
Waterman's one.
Jake the Snake? But the thing is, he's as much of a third tall as Charlie Kerno is. Just because they're shorter, that doesn't mean that
Charlie Kerno's not a third tall, bro.
No, but what I'm getting at, just because he's shorter, that doesn't mean he's, you know, a third tall. He's not a third tall, man.
No, you just give me the idea.
Yeah.
I just got to throw more comments like that sporadically just to make you go, shit, what's going on there?
Yeah, no, good. But that's, look.
The fact that they had you in a spin and you're thinking about it all week makes me very happy.
No, look, it occurred to me and I was in the car with my dad when he was driving. So I'm like, what's going on here, bro?
Wait, was Terry like confused as well?
Yeah, I asked him. I'm like, I just mentioned it. I was like, I think I was in the car with him. I don't know who I was in the car with.
Yeah, we're together.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, we're in the car on the way to the game. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, look.
That's hilarious.
Let's go. Let's go back to the flowers giving.
Look, Essendon, they beat Collingwood, man. That's a good win.
Mm-hmm.
Big stakes game, you know. Collingwood started crazy. Crisp 3 goals with 3 kicks. They start strong, and I feel like from quarter two to the end, Essendon was just a stronger team.
Especially at the end where you were waiting for Collingwood to have their rush.
Yeah, they did.
They sort of, just bullied them and didn't let them even get the ball, but they were prepared behind the ball as well and really playing aggressive defense.
Yeah.
And then it just got to the point where they were just streaming forward in numbers because they just counterattacked beautifully. So credit to the Bombers.
Yeah.
Solidifying that top four spot, which is huge. Collingwood outside the eight, which is even bigger.
Yeah, that is bigger.
So just a really all-around tough game. And their midfielders, like you were praising the other week, Caldwell.
Mm.
We've praised all year, what's his name? The other, Durham.
Yeah.
So guys like Setterfield, Parrish, you'd think, oh yeah, in a fully fit Bombers team, these are the guys. They're not getting in the team right now.
Interesting you said that because Dylan Shill actually came back and had a really big game.
That was interesting. Mm. He had more of a like run with role. Am I imagining that?
Mm.
I feel like he was sort of a bit more defense first.
Mm. Well, I think he topped them for tackles.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I would say he plays more of a defensive role. With kind of Merritt kind of being part more of their attacking chain.
In saying that though, Zach Merritt does not slouch when it comes to defensive duties, man.
No, he doesn't.
Like
no.
he had 10 contested disposals that game, right? But honestly, it felt like he did so much more on the inside than what that gives him credit for, man.
Yeah.
Seriously, like that dude is heart and soul type player, undersized. You know, they say pound for pound, one of the greatest, you know, footballers. Arguably, he's there, man, because he's a smaller guy, but he goes in hard and he uses it so well going forward. He's inspiring. He might be the most inspiring captain, you know, out there at the moment.
Look, he that last quarter, he was massive. And there was this time where he chased and then tackled and chased again. And the camera just panned to his face and he's just panting on the ground. And you're just like, man, this guy is giving everything for this win.
Mm.
And, you know, they got the result.
Mm, that's it. One of the boys that Dino mentioned, and I want to just quickly say, Caldwell, you traded him in the Supercoach, but I've all right.
Yeah.
He is such a gun, man.
He's
a tackling machine, just aggressive tackler, and he's agile. He's not just this slow inside type guy. He's very dynamic. So there's another one of the GWS, you know, midfielders that gets let go, and he's a gun.
It took a bit of time as well. Like I feel like last year he was like a non-factor, Caldwell.
Yeah, no, he was. Well, look. He never really was given the role to be a mid and extended mid time. Like he's probably always been the, you know, plays a bit half forward and then maybe gets like 20 or 30% you know, middle time. Whereas recently, it's gone upwards to like 80%, you know, centre bounce attendances.
Mm.
And he deserves it, man. He should be the number one CBA's guy, beyond, like more than Parrish, more than, you know, whoever else, you know what I mean? Setterfield, you know?
Yeah.
They should be finding roles around him.
I agree.
The way it's going right now.
Yep, yeah, 100%. Nate Caddy was good.
Yeah,
it was probably his breakout game.
Bruh, the Richo.
Oh, he was riding.
He could not shut up about Caddy, man. Like, I reckon it happened about 3, 4, maybe even 5 times where he's like, oh, look, I know I'm talking him up a lot, but he's just so good. He's just, I really like what I see from him. It's like, bro, we get it.
Richo, he plays the role of like, I love encouraging young forwards. He just froths over him all game.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. He'll do it about Cadman. He'll do about, you know, probably Grzebski as well. Nice, you know,
Grzebski.
What I mean? Yeah, nah, that's fair. But look, he does deserve the plaudits, man.
Like, he looked kind of like a young Jack Riewoldt out there, if I don't say so myself.
Yeah, so I've heard that somewhere before. I don't know who said that in a TikTok. Who said
it?
Maybe.
Was it me?
Yeah, you did, bro.
Oh, bro, shit, it was me.
You did. You don't remember
well,
from week to week.
He actually looked at it at AFL level, I guess. I can't even remember my own takes. There you go.
Matter is encyclopedia in our TikTok. He knows everything.
Look, when you're sitting there for 4 or 5 hours editing it,
yeah,
and you listen to it like, I reckon I listen to it about 20 times as I'm doing it, right?
Yeah.
You get to know what gets said. In saying that, like, you know, the last one we just did, less than 1,000 views. I'm pissed, bro, on TikTok. Usually, less than 1,000 on TikTok is a dead TikTok. Yeah. So I'm a bit shattered about that. But look, the Carlton one, shout out to the Carlton guys, man. You know, you guys killed it on that one for the support. Anyway, I digress.
Collingwood, Flowers, Hoskin Elliott.
Okay. Oh.
You want to know why?
Yeah.
He's the only player I've seen in a long time take the kick-ins and not play on.
This
guy is not getting a snap for his kickings. He's the only person. I saw him do it like 3 or 4 times in that game. He took the kickings and he kicked it from the square.
He's not stat chasing, is he?
No. Look,
loves the medium forward. This guy spent that way.
Look, I'm searching this up because I need to get the stats for this one. You guys keep talking.
One thing I found interesting about Collingwood: who were the two highest ranking players for Collingwood in that match?
Bakes?
No.
Oh.
I'm making a point here, if that gives
Pendles.
You a clue.
Yes? Oh, I know. It's Pendles and Sidebottom.
Yeah, that's right. They're two oldest ancient players with the highest rated. That's worrying, bro.
That is. They were drafted when I was in primary school.
Yeah.
We're talking, this is years.
I'm pretty
maybe
sure.
Maybe even when Dino was in kindergarten.
I think your papa had coffee with them.
What year were they drafted?
I don't remember, but it was like 2006, 7, 8.
Yeah, I was in primary school.
Yeah, so you know what I mean?
Or maybe late primary, yeah.
I was in primary school.
Yeah.
06, I was in year 6.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah,
I just followed
six
it along.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't get it that easy, you know what I mean?
You got to do some math.
I do have to do some math. Like, I started in 2003, you know. it's a bit tough.
That is a crazy long time.
Yeah. But yeah, they've been around a long-ass time, man.
Well, look. They're still, you could say, in their window, right? So it makes sense that their experienced players are contributing. But when they go, obviously they've got Dacos. The guy will still be around. They're going to need to beef up a little bit more. They'll probably just recruit like a Bailey Smith and just, you know, top up their list. I don't think they're going to have to go to the draft anytime soon. But very interesting point, though. Yeah. Especially Sidebottom. Like, every time you think he's cooked, he just comes back.
Yeah, he does have kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He only played on twice out of the 6 kick-ins.
See?
That's astute crazy observation. Like,
thank you
if
very
you,
much.
If you wonder whether we watch the games,
thank you very much.
Out this guy over here, man.
Pies are out of the 8, though. And on top of them, so equal points, Giants.
This is DFSA, man.
And they
kick in breakdown. Look how good this is, bro.
How do you know that they only played on twice?
6-2. See that? Because it's kick in and then play on.
Oh.
Bro, I do my research. That's why I'm good at Supercoach, bro. To an extent, good at Supercoach.
I think I'm beating you this year.
Hey, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna, you killed it. 2-5's crazy, bro. Yeah. Bravo, man.
With a Bond Flowers captain as well.
Flowers, bro. Flowers. But look.
But yeah, Collingwood outside the 8. Equal points with Giants in 8th.
Hmm.
2 points behind Brisbane. And then there's Port, Geelong, Essendon, and so on.
I think Essendon winning this game, I think they'll finish. Will they finish top 4?
Bro was ready to say it.
Yeah.
But then he's like, oh, wait.
Everything's
wait.
So close. But like, honestly, that's a big win, man. That's a really big win. That's the first kind of big scalp I think they've taken really since GWS, right?
Mm.
And if they can win games like that, there's no reason they can't win a lot of those other games. They've got points on the board. They could actually finish top 4.
Yeah, that's. I don't think it's crazy to say anymore. Like now, I actually have belief that this Essendon team can win on their day. You know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, they're beating up on the small, on the bad teams. You know, they've had a good run. They're capable of beating any side on. I'm going to say it, any side, because even like the top sides are looking a bit shaky at the moment.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, yes, that we're waiting for them to take their scalp and they've finally done it. They did get smashed by Geelong last week, so I'm not going too crazy, but there is still, there's some respect there now.
Yeah. Yep. Well, look, next week it gets interesting because then they have Melbourne, they have Adelaide after that, they have the Saints, they have the Dockers, they have the Suns, they have Sydney and then Brisbane. It's not the hardest draw. But if you win about four or five of those, man, and I think they can.
Yeah, I think they can.
They're top, they are top four. That's good on them, man. Good on them. And look, I think you can see it in the way that they play, that they started chipping it around a little bit more down the back, which usually we don't like. That's very Freo-like. But they have the options to do that. They have the right players to have that type of game style where they can just possess the ball. And that's what they did. You know, they just possessed the ball. And then they, you know, they were able to push it forward, you know, and catch Collingwood off guard. They, when you got Ridley, when you got Redman, when you have, what's the other guy, McGrath, all excellent kicks, right? Nick Martin as well, who floats back there a lot. You know, they can play that game style. And, you know, when they need to play a bit faster, they probably can as well because they've got a really agile midfield. So
the interesting thing to note about the Essendon players, they've all in their interviews spoken about how they ended last year.
Yeah.
And how they've learned, and they talk about it, and they're going to fix it.
I think you can tell that they really care.
I think you can. No, they care for sure. But the results are what matters now. From here to the end of the season, if they're serious about winning a final, they need to enter the finals kind of like how Carlton did. Maybe not quite with so much momentum, but in good form, in good health. Because if they drop off and sort of have a bit of an indifferent last six, seven rounds, then they're going into the finals. Even with the fourth spot against Sydney, you'll probably lose. And then you're hanging on a thread. Like,
yeah.
I actually am curious to see how well they can finish the season. Like, excellent jobs to get to this point now. But last year was a bad end to the season. They got embarrassed by the Giants, embarrassed in a couple other games. Like, can't happen again. It can't.
It was bad, man. Yeah. It was bad.
So, let's see how they go.
Yeah, look. Yeah. That's true. Look, if they do end the season badly, we saw what happened with Melbourne and with Port last year, especially Port. They ended the season poorly and then they just went out in straight sets.
Correct.
In saying that, I don't think if Essendon do make the top four, they won't have a bad end to the season. They need to win games.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I don't think that probably won't happen if they make the top four, but still. Anyway.
It's enough about Essendon.
Yeah, that is. That took a lot out of us, actually. That was really
hard. I'm exhausted, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Let's just call it.
We're going to have to call it now. Thanks for listening.
Play the music, man.
Play the music. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that bit 2 weeks in a row either. That was pretty funny.
It was funny.
I enjoyed that.
But no, let's talk North Matter.
So yeah, let's do it, man. So
just want to put it out there, just for a moment. Me and Matter were at the game with Matter's dad, my father-in-law. That was our first home win since round one last year.
Wow.
Right? Eagles, which was a close game. And then if you remember last year, we beat Freo the next week and then we didn't win until the end of the season, literally. So we haven't been at Marvel to watch a win since then, over a year ago, right? So the emotion...
That was crazy.
There was only 17,000 something people in that stadium. I couldn't hear the siren and I couldn't hear it on the replay on the TV. That's how loud it was.
Yeah.
It was basically a grand final atmosphere with 17,000 people.
Yeah, I was going to say 17,000 people and it was pumping.
Yeah.
The place was pumping.
It was insane. But no, what a game. Go ahead. What were your thoughts and emotions, Matthew?
Thoughts and emotions. Look, I think, yeah, emotions are the right word. Like my old man nearly fainted. he actually legit when the final siren went and he screamed, he had to go sit down. He legit, like, Dino and I were standing around jumping and hugging. My dad was sitting down. I'm like, is that right? You know, but nah, so that was pretty cool. A nice moment to share together. But yeah, I think you can't help but feel positive and, you know, encouraged by this team, and especially because of the fact that a lot of the performances are coming from the young dudes, right? And, you know, a few weeks ago, we're like, oh, the young dudes are going well and the old guys can't, you know, hold up their end of the bargain. But now the old guys are holding up their end of the bargain. All of a sudden, Luke McDonald, he didn't have his best game, but like that was a good McDonald game.
But in the moments where there was like a ball to win, he was taking bodies.
Exactly.
Same as Aiden Corr, like body on the line stuff, which...
Darcy Tucker as well.
Tucker, yeah.
And he was good.
And we know that these guys probably aren't in our next premiership team because they're just getting on in age. But the example they're finally setting is really good to see. I've got a few stats for you guys here, right? So since the bye, basically, tackles, North is first in the comp. All right. Contested possessions, we're second in the comp.
Mm.
Our points for has gone up from 65 to 81. And our points against has gone down from 118 to 82. So we've decreased our points against by 34 points per game, right? Which is basically saying our points for and against is 81 and 82. We're basically in every game on average, which we have been. Which is just awesome to see. Like now, you know, last week I wasn't expecting to beat the Dogs, but we were gutted and we lost by 17 points. You know, the weeks before that, we lost by under a goal. We've only lost by a combined 20 points in three games or whatever it is. So we're competing. It's exciting. Man, there were so many moments in that game. Like the North fans were genuinely standing ovationing. Like Colby's run down the wing. Like I don't like we love Harley Reid, right? There's more than one pick in the draft and we got the second best player. Right? And he'll have a great career. We can already see it. LDU's run at the end. Man, like
I know.
I need to explain to you, George, right? So before we started recording, I said to George, have you seen the run? Because there's something I want to explain and it makes more sense if you've seen it, right? So where we were sitting on that wing was right behind LDU. So we could just see this as close as probably you can get. And he breaks the tackle, and then he's sprinting. He's doing like Chris Judd, just like taking guys on. And he kicks it and we can see it line up and it just freezes left, right? And me and Matza were literally like hugging, like looking.
like some slow motion movie.
Like slow motion. And then when he missed it, we're just like, oh.
Yeah. You know the, what's it called? The meme. Dang. That was literally us, bro. That was was us. Ice Cube and Chris Tucker. Is it Chris Tucker?
Yeah. But how exciting, man. Like, even at the end there, Sheasel intercepts that hand pass. We should have scored from it. Like, there were so many opportunities to kill the game off, which is the only disappointing thing. Like, we shouldn't have even been in that nail-biting ending. But defense held up. Midfield was tough when it needed to be. The attack looked functional enough to kick a winning score. Like,
And the other cool thing is we have drama in this team. And in the best possible way, like the Colby four bounce run, the Torp from Powell.
Tom Powell.
How did he think to do that, bro? Like that's
another
that
standing
was a,
ovation moment. Like my God.
Oh yeah, like you know, he went and I'm trying to think. That looked like 65, 70 at least.
That was a huge kick.
It was ridiculous, huge. Man. That was ridiculous. And I mean, I swear for a moment, it looked like Liam Shields like bottled the kick.
He almost
because it didn't come off the boot well. But man, the relief when that went through after that.
I was already jumping before he kicked it. So if he missed, I would look like a massive idiot.
Oh, bro. We needed you to kick that, Shieldsy.
But then there was even the Sheasel moment on our wing. He just gets the ball with a split second. And Matza said he's got the fastest hands in the comp. He did a backwards handball. No look. Like the guy's just so skillful, man.
I think he's backed me up basically. Because he is like faster than Butters, faster than Walshy.
He hasn't missed a set shot all year. Kicks it, spanks one in from 50 meters when we needed it in that last quarter.
Gorgeous.
My goodness, man. Like, just making sure I don't forget anything based on what I wrote. But one thing after the game, you know how they interview a player, but it's not the Fox Footy interview. They're interviewing Jai Simkin, right? And you can hear it over the speakers. And he literally says, I thought young Jackson Archer was fucking amazing.
Bro, he dropped a two or three F-bombs, man. He just he couldn't
when
stop
when he's not
himself.
On Fox Footy, he just lets him go.
Oh, yeah. I love it, man. I love it.
But no, elephant in the room, though, right? So, George. He knows what's coming, right? I sent George a little voice memo after the game. Just told him there's a bit more to come. Like, I'm going to keep it tasteful, but I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to keep it tasteful. Man's won one game since round one last year.
No, you don't get to do this, right? I read out those stats. We're a decent team now, right?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to keep this tasteful, but I'm not going to lie. Like, I was irrationally annoyed that you just swiped off North as not even a chance against Gold Coast when these guys haven't won an away game all year.
Well, I'm not sure I said not a chance.
You said surely. I'm tipping Gold Coast, surely. Well, right? So pure, like, if you're at the blackjack table, right, and then you're going, oh, it's been black 10 times. That doesn't mean the next game is red. It just means it's 50-50 again, man.
That's not how statistics works.
That's not how statistics works, man.
No, but I understood.
You know what I mean? You know the logic, right?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Especially when red is Gold Coast.
Let me rebut this, right?
All right, here we go.
First of all, I'm happy you guys won.
Thank you.
But put it this way. Who had more to lose?
Gold Coast.
Look, you would say, that's fair.
Gold Coast.
Did you not think that, first of all, who was the favorite?
It was Gold Coast.
So, Golden has the most to lose. They're the favourite. They come into a team that they should win, right? They're fighting for finals.
Based on what, though? That's my one
contentious. Based on expectations.
Point. But the expectation of what? The last 5 years or the last five rounds? Because the last five rounds, we've been very good.
That's the thing.
But didn't didn't Gold Coast just beat Collingwood?
Yeah, in Gold Coast. They can't play away though, bro.
I know they can't. They can't play away. I know they can't, but let's not pretend like you guys smashed them. I mean, at the end of the day...
We should have, though. We should have.
Yeah, Took Miller got injured. Sam Day got injured. Ainsworth had a shot in the last minute to win it. It's not a crazy victory.
No, look, I'm not saying that, but all I wanted and what I demand moving forward is a consideration that North can win games, because we can win games now. And not to just say, oh, surely that team needs a win. They're playing North. They're going to win.
That's fair.
Because I don't care if they needed a win. They can't win away from home, bro. They can't.
No.
Even Dino says they've got to grow the F up.
They can't win. They've proven they can't.
That's it. So moving forward, unless we're playing like a top four team, top eight team, game's on.
Look, we'll never say game's on. I'm allowed to tip Gold Coast.
No, you're allowed to tip them. But just say, ooh, North's in good form. Gold Coast coming away. Give me something.
Man's needs a rebuttal.
Give me something. Man's needs a rebuttal. You can't just be like, North is North. Gold Coast needs a win. Yeah, sure. No, that's not good enough, mate. No, I'm holding you accountable.
Definitely good enough.
No, that's not.
That's what we do at every other team.
But not my North boys.
Listen, you're two North supporters here, mate.
Boys, this is what happens when you're flanked by North, man. This is what happens when you're flanked by North.
You know what, man?
Look, I can't wait for us.
I've been through it enough.
I can't wait until when we win a premiership before you guys, mate.
Oh.
Look, man, what I don't get by you two, right, is
you two.
I am the most considerate Carlton supporter in Victoria.
But you kind of hate North, though.
Low key. You try to bury us whenever you can, man.
I never do that.
I'm sorry.
You guys haven't won a game since last year.
Home game, bro.
And I have never, even when we went to a game, I didn't say shit when I beat you. And now you guys on the pod are trying to bury me. How dare you?
No, you're respectful, but your tipping habits need to change. That's all I'm saying.
No, they do not need to change.
The tipping habits, they're bending a bit.
Next thing you're going to say is when Carlton versus North in a couple of weeks, you expect me to tip North or something like that.
No, I'm just expecting you to say, you know what? North's shown something. We've got to be careful, because if we don't bring it, we might get Collingwood.
This is what I'll say. Carlton, I expect nothing but results from you guys. So no matter what the opposition is, North or not, you should spank them. That's what I want. That's what I'll say.
That's fair in that regard.
All right. That's all I asked for. All right. Yeah. I was saying I'm going to keep it tasteful. There was nothing personal in there.
This is the most ridiculous thing. This is the most ridiculous segment of this pod I've ever heard in my life.
Dino's rocket is back, man.
You know what? Test me next time.
This is the way I see it. This is the way I'll bring a full circle. You guys have been bad for so long that you deserve to be a bit chirpy after a victory.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll remain chirpy as well, man. Yeah. Don't you worry.
Remain chirpy.
I've already said, when we get proper good, no one's going to want to talk North with me. This pod will probably be unlistenable.
Dean is a very good, honest man. But when it comes to North, he brings out this crazy side. Yeah. Like a lot of people.
I'm a nutcase at the game. I've realised, you know when you're like, there's always that one guy in the bay? Like, I'm that guy these days.
I think both of us together. But at least we're kind of funny while we do it, at least. You know what I mean? Yeah. We'll crack jokes and stuff.
Look, I can't be too harsh.
I keep it tasteful.
Yeah, no. We don't like abuse players. We don't, you know, nothing that'll get us, you know, suspended from games. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't want that.
Five-week suspension. No. You don't need any of that.
Just a bit of umpire stuff, bit of Gold Coast piss off, go home.
Yeah,
a bit of that. Wave them off.
Yeah.
The thing is, I can't really talk too much, because when I'm at the game and Carlton's on a ride, I'm giving it to
them. I'm giving it.
I think we all learned something, I think.
I think we
maybe.
Did. Gold Coast, look, let's just talk about them for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
They didn't play badly. We were just better. But there is something in the fact they can't win away from home. I don't know what it is. But that game was there. If they played at their best, obviously they would have given us a better game. The scoreline flattered them a bit. I think we were the better team.
Yeah.
They capitalized on their momentum for most of the game. Every time they got it, they'd kick a few in a row. Whereas we were just the better team.
One little dude we got to give some flowers to is Ned Moyle. He's actually a proper ruckman now. He's a proper ruckman. Yeah. I don't think there's Moyle's in now. He's our opportunity to dominate the ruck. That's not the case, man. He's taking marks around the ground. He's way more physically imposing than I thought he was. Like, you see him in real life coming up against Cherry, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, Cherry actually has a bit of a battle here, which he won. Moyle actually solid player. Interesting to see how that, you know, where that leaves him going forward. Like, they drafted Ethan Reed as well, another ruckman.
True.
How long does Wits have to go?
And Mac Andrew was good too.
Yes.
He was really good. They swung him forward as well. He's a handful.
Man.
That's it.
Fun times for North, man. Honestly, like, just... And Wardlaw comes back next week. Heaney might be out.
Griffin Logue might be back.
Zachy Fisher. You know what I mean? Does Zachy Fisher even get back into the side? You know what I mean? Like, how does this work? We've got a glut of options all of a sudden. So, yeah, going to be a very interesting selection table.
I wouldn't bring him in, man. with McKercher. McKercher, I'd much prefer to play McKercher in that role.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Look, I think both are good at the role, but McKercher, because he's quicker and can just break through lines and he's daring as well. Yeah. Like he made two awful mistakes in the first quarter. That didn't stop him at all for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, a quarter later, he's, you know, running down the wing and doing four bounces.
Yeah.
Not many players have a good amount of arrogance is what I'll say it is. Like, it's confidence, it's a bit of arrogance to just go and do what you know you can do. He does it as a first year player.
The two can and should play together. Just one of them needs to be on the next line so that when he kicks it to the other one's running off.
Yeah.
Because it took Colby like kick, run by, get the handball receive. But if he's marking the ball himself, he can just go.
Mm.
It saves a bit of time, I think. So anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
This game was happening, there was a very boring other game happening.
Yeah, and George, you might have to tell us a bit about this one.
Yeah, a bit of a spanking.
Which one was it?
Yeah,
Fort Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Why is it every time you expect something from the Dogs, they fail you? And why is it every time Port fails you a little bit, they come out and respond? These guys are actually the same team. Port and the Dogs are the same team, but separate weeks.
That's a fair call.
That is. And the other thing is, there's a lot of similarities. It's like awesome midfields for both teams. The forward line, the forward line, I don't mind it so much for Western Bulldogs, but, you know. Ports is shit.
Ports is shit.
I'm trying to think. Their coaches. We dislike their coaches.
Mm.
I'm trying to think. What other similarities these guys have?
They're up and down form.
They've got blue in their jerseys.
Yeah.
I'm starting to stretch it a bit there. But
look, the Butters and Rosie's first quarter.
I want to quote you. You said last week that they have three beautiful midfielders.
They do. They're beautiful.
You said the words beautiful, and I was very taken aback by you calling them beautiful.
They are beautiful,
but they were beautiful.
They are beautiful.
They were, especially Rosie and Butters, mate. They didn't even let us have a full game of Butters' beauty,
bro.
You know what I mean?
The man
they
got subbed off on 160 Supercoach at three quarter time, bro.
It's ridiculous, bro.
He deprived us of a 200 Supercoach game. The bastard.
I didn't even think of that. I did not think of that. That was going to be Butters' moment.
Yeah, anyway. Those two just absolutely towered them up. I don't know. It's hard to read into this game or exactly what went wrong, but
I think that went wrong. They lost the midfield battle.
What I will say is Norton got injured, right? And Bond played pretty much the whole game up forward. And any time they kicked it to Bond, he marked it. But it's like the game's in the balance and you're losing. Shuffle some feathers and put Bond in the midfield. I hate how he just puts him forward. If Bond's in the midfield, he wins the clearance. That's just like 1 + 1 = 2.
But, yeah, I agree with you. And especially when Port started, like we said, Rosie Butters, like how many touches did they have at quarter time? Over 15
each.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
So you're thinking, get the man on in the guts to control the game.
That's crazy. I agree, man.
And you probably say something like, nah, we can't just rely on Bond. We get the other team. It's a team game. Shut up. Put your captain where he belongs and wrestle control of the game.
Well, the thing is as well, like, part of me says, okay, Bevo, he actually, yes, he moves players around, but is it all in the name of building a versatile team? You could argue that, right?
Yeah.
But you're building up a midfield, say, of younger players for what? When Bont's finished and then your window's done?
Like, bro, there wasn't younger players. It was a Treloar, Libar.
Richards was young, but.
Richards and one other midfielder.
Well, obviously. Regardless, like, so what's the point of not playing your best midfield when. Maybe by the time Richards, maybe he can take another couple steps up and then he's prime, but then Bont's not prime anymore.
Yeah.
So I think you just got to capitalize on what you've got in front of you.
You got to.
And yes, develop your team, but yeah, if the game's in the balance and you've got Brownlow-worthy midfielder on your hands, like put him in the guts, man.
I thought it was a massive waste, man.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Georgiardis, 5 goals. Horn Francis, 3.
Yeah.
He's really hitting the scoreboard this year.
Yeah,
credit to him.
I think Georgiardis is their most damaging forward. They've got a couple of options like Todd Marshall. But Dixon's kind of out of form. There's one other guy that escapes my mind, but I think Georgiardis is the one for me.
They had actually Lord and Finlayson played.
Lord. Georgiardis is more likely, in my opinion. Finlayson is talented, but
he'll finish up in the next year or two.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah, probably. Look, I think Ollie Lord, if he can get his form back, you know, and him and Georgiardis are, you know, looking good, that'd be very promising because. Ollie Lord, I don't know if you guys remember last season, the way he ended the season. He was excellent, good. Man. So, yeah, look, a couple of promising keys. They need those guys to come along.
Yeah.
They really need that because otherwise it's like, you got retirement age type dudes.
What I like about Georgiardis is I feel like he's a pretty accurate set shot.
Mm.
Yeah, he's decent.
Yeah.
Even Marshall, Georgiardis, like both of them are decent set shots.
Well, Marshall historically has been, but this year he's been woeful. He's really out of form.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? I still think of him as a good set shot. I think he'll break out of it. I don't know what it is though.
Who's this? Sorry,
Todd Marshall.
Yeah, that is a weird one because I feel like he's the sort of dude who needs to be a good set shot because otherwise he's not the most physically imposing dude.
No.
If you're going to have him out there, you know, it's not to crash packs. You know, you need him to, you know, make the most of his opportunities. So, look, yeah, he probably will.
Matta loves the third tall one.
That's why I love Georgiadis, mate. Maybe that's why I like Ollie Lord, man. I'm a big Ollie Lord guy, man.
You love the promising forward that's not... You don't like giving praise to like Charlie Kerno as much as you do.
That's what I'm saying, bro. There is something to this.
He's an observant guy. He wants to call it before he becomes the Charlie Kerno.
You're probably right. Nah, look, there are... So the guys who I do like, I'm trying to think, maybe Ochoa. That one, I don't really expect that much of him. I just like his vibe, right?
Yeah.
He's got mad vibes as a player. Langford, maybe people don't recognize it, but he's elite. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's an elite, just about an elite footballer, right? Will Day, I probably got onto him a little bit earlier than most, right? Sicily, not really. I'm trying to think, who are my dudes?
See, none of these guys are real. Like Will Day is a midfielder, but none of these guys are kind of mids.
Are they underdogs? Like, what are we thinking? Because
even Will Day, you can argue he's a medium defender.
That's the thing. See, that's the thing that I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think, like, because he wasn't expected to be this good. You know what I mean?
He was a high draft pick, man. I think he was pick 11 or 12.
But he was drafted as a halfback, man. He was never meant to be a midfielder. And then they put him in there, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, look at this guy, man.
Halfback, midfield, the same thing, man.
Yeah. We're
talking Will Day now, so we might as well talk about the Hawks game.
Yeah. Look, that I was listening to on the radio. Because I was driving down to George's Way, Whittlesey, and so I don't have too much.
Bro, where is Whittlesey, man?
Bro, I don't know, man.
Where is it?
Look, I was just driving in the fog, legit. Like we're
anywhere
talking
outside of like Brunswick is my way.
So look, it was a friend of the pod, Chris's Bucks, and you know Chris being the St Kilda supporter who you know was treated lovely week. But yeah, anyway, so I'm driving there and we're talking like the fog is that intense. If a car is like 30 meters away, you can only just see the lights like they're those little LED lights that, you know, are on walls. You know what I mean? I could only just see them. And here's the thing, because you can't really see properly, I can't tell. I'm like, is this guy on the same, is he on his lane or is he on my lane? So I'm just driving in my lane hoping that he's not a vlaka and he's, you know, he's come the other side. I was scared, bro. I was scared. Scary. So I had to lower the footy. That's why
you can see better.
Yeah, and that's why. Yeah, and that's why I don't have good insight. But nah, look, yeah, that was a very interesting drive. I'll tell you that.
Look, that sounds terrible, Matt. I'm sorry you had to go through with that.
So I'm reliving this moment. You know, talking about Geelong.
Yeah, this guy's shaky. You guys can't tell, but he's shaking. He's trembling. The couch is moving. I'm not surprised by this result because the Hawks have been really good, but they've come up against a really mature body side, and I just felt like it was waiting to happen. Something like that. Something like just getting exposed a little bit by just a team that's just a lot more tough and experienced. And I think that's what Sam Mitchell ended up saying in his press conference. Like, you know, there's still a bit of a gap between them and the best side. So the Hawthorn run has been pretty special. But up against some of the top echelon teams, I think they get exposed a little bit. And I think this is just an example of that, which is not a negative on them. It's just kind of where they're at a bit.
I was half expecting them to have just that one quarter where they... Because even last year, if you recall, they'd lose a lot of games, obviously, to the good teams. And there was still sort of that one quarter, at least, where they'd maybe kick
even
six. Even a
half sometimes.
I still sort of thought as the game went on, like, maybe they'll just do something. But, yeah, never really came. I guess Geelong... Look, Hawkins is out, but their forward line has been killing it the last
couple of weeks. It's funny because they're such a... Like, we think Geelong has such a good start to the season, but they've kind of been up and down. They lost some bad games. They're probably like fourth or fifth on the ladder. Where are they?
I think they are. They are fifth, only half a game out the eight, of the four.
Still very much up there. I don't know. I just kind of don't respect them that much.
You're not a Brad Close fan?
No, I'm not. I like the long sleeves, but that's about it.
Nah, fair enough.
Yeah, a bit of a Matthew Lappin to him.
Yeah.
Some would say.
Skinny Lappin. I would definitely be a long sleeve footy player.
Yeah, that's your vibe, I reckon.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, fair enough. It's because he skips arm day at the gym. So yesterday,
that and you know, I'm perpetually cold.
I think I'd go for like the Horn Francis long socks or something. I don't know.
No, you can't be a long sock.
Black boots, long socks, black boots.
Yeah, just an old-fashioned football.
Yeah, like Georgie Wardlaw type of vibes. You know what I mean? I like that.
I'm not a fan of the long socks, mate. The Dangerfield with his socks up to his knees. If he wasn't such a damn good player.
Well, here's the thing, right? Why are the socks so long if it's socially unacceptable to pull them up? Why not just make them short? That's why do they need to be long socks for? You don't wear shin guards like in soccer.
I guess it's tradition.
I'm calling for AFL next year. Just stop playing with us. Just give us short socks and that's it.
Look, I want a bit more like basketball vibes where players have like the shooting sleeve randomly. You know what I mean?
Kicking the knee brace maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe like, what's it called? The headband. You know what I mean? Like, wristbands, something. It's not. There's not much vibe. Like, Jaden Hunt tried to wear that disgusting like headband.
You know what?
You know that headband that Josh Hunt liked to wear? It looked like... I don't know. It was a little bit like bikey vibes. You know what I mean? That's probably why they said, look, bro, like, you know, are you a blood or a crip? You know, but blue and red, you're both.
Wouldn't it be?
So it was a bit weird.
Next year, right? So Nick Larkey lines up for goal. Instead of doing like the Matthew Lloyd grass, you know, wind check, he just comes out, he pulls out like a knee sleeve and that's like his routine. He just gets it out of his pocket, knee sleeve on, kicks straight every time.
And then takes it off for the next play.
Yeah, that's takes it off.
Yeah, that's fair. Hey, that's fine. Add it to your 30 seconds. You
bit
know
of
what
a
I mean?
Rock people's elbow, get the elbow pad off. One of those ones.
I've just thought of something. You're talking about his routine. Do you see players take out their mouth guard these days?
Yeah.
When they line up for goal?
Yeah.
Not as much as I remember seeing when I was younger.
When they put it in the sock?
Sock or sometimes the shorts. Yeah.
I feel like that.
I don't think I've seen that in years. Maybe they pay attention.
Does any player do the Steph Curry just bite the mouth guard at the free throw line?
That's something I was just thinking of,
Someone do that? That'd be boss if they did.
Yeah. Look, you're not a big basketball fan, but Steph Curry, for some reason, just chews it around and like sort of sticks out.
Oh.
It's weird. I don't know why it does that. It's really odd. Look, I'm sure someone will eventually. Like one of these players, like
one of these millennials.
Yeah, one of these millennials, you know. Nick Watson will probably do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got that vibe, you know.
He'll make it disappear.
Yeah. That's it. Look, has this week what wasn't his best game, but we almost gotta say the previous week he was good. He kind of got back to like, Mudblood. Yeah. You know, he was a bit Half-Blood or whatever it's called. You know what I mean?
Prince here.
Yeah, this week back to, you know, regular Muggle, but like, you know, he's getting there. You know?
This guy's having an identity crisis big time.
Yeah, big time.
Well, look, when the whole team's bad, I don't expect the Wizard to be the one shining. Let's be honest.
Nah, that's fair. That's fair.
But no, credit to the Cats. They had Stewart finally had a controlling game. I feel like he hasn't had one of these games in weeks.
Yeah, like he's been a bit understated. Like, you know, I've sort of had a look at some of his performances. I'm just like,
Chris, you know, Scott did that thing. Sorry to interrupt you. He did that thing last week where he had Stewart on ball. It just does my head in, man. Like, I know that their midfield's a bit lightish, but you've got this all-time halfback.
Mm.
One of the best players in your club's history off halfback.
No, I think he's trying to avoid the tag.
Just get over it.
But you get tagged in the middle.
I know. I don't think it's avoiding the tag.
I think it's just he has an abundance of halfbacks. Like, and you got Mitch Duncan. You have, what's his name? The new kid now, Lawson Humphrey. You know what I mean? There's Humphreys. Who's the other one? He's not really the one I'm thinking of. There's more that I'm... Holmes.
Holmes, yeah.
You know,
but Holmes has been more midfield, hasn't he?
Yeah, but he rotates between the two spots. Yeah, I think that's probably what he's thinking. Like, oh, I need to try to move people around and see what I've got. But
has anyone seen Bose? Stewart... When Stewart plays on ball, has anyone seen him get a clearance or do anything?
I've seen a clearance.
I haven't. I don't know. I'm angry at it.
There's probably been at least one clearance since he's been in the midfield.
I want facts. I don't want...
All right. He's definitely gotten a clearance, man. I think I checked it.
I'll do some research.
I think he got 3 clearances last week.
Oh.
All right.
Not bad. 3. So he's a bad midfielder then.
Yeah.
So he's basically like a Tom Sparrow level midfielder.
Yeah.
Great. That's handy. You know. But yeah. We have much more to talk about.
No, let's move on, man.
Yeah, sweet. That we dragged that. A bit. I don't know. I didn't enjoy talking about that game.
No.
Georgia's just wanting to delay the inevitable.
Am I next?
You're next, bro. You are next, man. Oh. This is all yours, buddy.
Interesting one, man. Interesting. Look, it was a bit of a frustrating watch, to be honest, because we started the first quarter with a bang, and we're 39 points up, I think, in the first quarter. No, 39 points, and then they kicked the goal. So something like 30, low 30s, it was the margin of quarter time. And I'm thinking... Man, look at this team. We're invincible. We're doing it again, but in the first quarter instead of the third or the fourth. And then second quarter, the Giants just absolutely towed us up. Absolutely towed us up. So our first quarter was their second quarter. And then it's even at halftime. Third quarter come in, Giants just keep rolling. And this is where what Carlton's been good at is it's halftime, reset at halftime, come out with a bang and set this record straight.
I was just going to say, where was that foot down? It just never came.
Well, it didn't happen. And... we did not touch the ball for two quarters, man. It was actually remarkable. Yeah. We fumbled the ball and handballed to the opposition for two quarters straight. under immense pressure. Like, Carlton's a skillful team. And it, I have to say, it was more about the Giants just being absolutely relentless. And I saw some stat that showed that they had over, like, nearly 50 more sprint attempts. Or no, not attempts, sprint, what's it called? Efforts. Sprint efforts than us. So they worked harder than us. They worked their little asses off. And I think it was something along the lines of, you know, we start the first quarter with a bang, and then they're like, mate, our season's on the line. Get your shit together, boys. And they came out and just played like the premiership favourites they were at the start of the year. Let's not forget that after round three, round four, we're thinking these Giants are the best.
I did say last week, it wouldn't surprise me if they turned around and went on a win streak.
Yeah.
And you guys were like, oh, it would actually surprise me. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I didn't say.
One of you kind of disagreed.
Definitely George is like, oh, it would surprise me.
No.
But look, you know what the thing is?
Don't put words in
my mouth. No, you did say that. But look, I get it.
Play the clip.
No, I will. No, look, I get it though. Because like, when you've been that bad, because they have been that bad, it is crazy to just turn it around. Look, but the thing is, this is a team that's capable of it, you know?
Yeah.
We all know that.
Look. Before the game, I was thinking, look, I expect us to win this, but going up to the Giants Stadium, like, it's not the easiest thing to do and win, right? It's such a shit stadium as well. It's always depressing. There's no crowd. There's no crowd. So whatever the case is, they played some seriously good football, and their speed was we could do nothing with their speed. Like, even some of these younger players, Matt has talked about, like Darcy Jones. They had a first gamer who I forgot the name of. This guy has speed to burn.
Joe Fonte.
Yeah, Fonte. Like, they... And remember, they did this without Kelly and without Taylor, two of the most important players, or top three most important players. So it was a really impressive performance. Man, that were tough.
Callum Ward, 30 disposals, 2 goals.
Ward, great game.
How does that happen?
Hogan, great game. The only thing I would say more on the Carlton side was I was happy that we didn't like lay down and die, because it was one of those games you could kind of see the writing on the wall in the second quarter. Wiedering's had a cork. He was out for most of the quarter. They scored like 8 goals in a row. Anytime Wiedering leaves the field, we just score. They just score. Like, this guy, if there's any illusions of who's the most important player in Carlton, it's him, right? McGovern, Niggle, Tom DeConing, Niggle. You could just see he was getting a bit tough. They had the momentum, home game. You just could see like, oh shit, we ain't going to win this, right? And I'm happy that they managed to fight it out. And it was one of those games where we almost stole it. And that is a hallmark of a good team, that we didn't steal it, but we got pretty close. Like, it was within 12 points. Okay. And there was an entry inside 50 where we should have kicked the goal, man. We just should have kicked the goal. It was like 3-on-1 or something. We didn't make anything from it. So we got pretty close, even though they spanked us for 2.5 quarters. So I like the fact that they didn't die, because that's not what you want from a professional team. I just think they outworked us, and I think it's... I felt a little bit better once Sydney lost, which we'll talk about soon. But it's more along the lines of, like, Carlton's won 5 games in a row, really strong performances. And now they've lost one to a pretty good team that, if they play like that, are a very good team. It's not the worst thing in the world to lose to a team like that, to kind of reset your expectations a bit. I think it's healthy. If Carlton lose next week, it won't be healthy. But this loss in isolation is not the end of the world for Carlton. I actually think it's potentially a good thing, because the Giants and Sydney and Collingwood are those type of teams that, when they play like that, are really damaging and threaten Carlton's kind of contested, tough game style. So I like being exposed by those teams, because it gives us a look at, oh, we've just been exposed, reset. When we got exposed by Sydney at the start of earlier in the year, that was a really big thing for us, and I felt like we started to play our better football after that. And I expect this is kind of the next transition of, oh, we just got exposed again. Boys, get your shit together, reset, go again. So on isolation, for the context of our season, I don't think it's that bad to lose this game. The last thing I'll say is Cripps is playing out of his mind. And even though we lost, I still think he was the best on.
He'll probably win the Brownlow.
He was insane.
Yeah, probably right.
Insane. So it kind of reminded me of the old times where he was the only one turning up. He was really special.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, nostalgia.
The good old days.
And losing as well. So that's what I say.
Yeah, it's not like, look, some interesting little stats I've just sort of looked at, right? So I think a hallmark of your midfield actually being really, really good, right, is the fact that Briggs doubled DeConing's hitouts, and you guys still came up equal on the clearances.
Yeah,
actually, you guys beat him by 3. Yeah. That is crazy to me.
Yeah,
but I think where the game obviously was lost in this case was you guys lost the uncontested possessions by 80.
Yeah,
So they just, they possessed the ball. It's interesting. There's a couple times where like teams have done that this week, you know, and beat really good teams. Essendon did it against Collingwood, and now GWS against you guys.
The only thing that's missing from that is I think they kicked something like 70 points from stoppages. So their clearances were a lot more damaging than ours.
Yeah, actually, no, you're right. I did see that as well.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Tom Ligonier had a good start to the game, running around Briggs, but Briggs found a way to stop him, and they, like, we had no answer in the midfield. None.
Pittenet fit, just not chosen at the moment? Or?
Yeah, so he's fit, and he was swapped out for DeConning. But DeConning's in amazing form.
Yeah,
That's fair. The other one that got dropped was Hewitt for Cottrell. Mm. I'll tell you what, man. Hewitt would have been needed in a game like that, man. Yeah. Just some strong, an extra strong body just to arrest the momentum a bit.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. That is a game where we could have used a pit net to just to hold Briggs at bay.
I think if Vossi had his time again, he would have
100%. Made that
call. Mm. It's interesting, but you wouldn't have thought Briggs would have been that big a threat to this point, because I've had him in my Supercoach draft and I know he's been bad.
Yeah.
Right?
He hasn't had the greatest year, but he's a tough opponent.
Yeah. And when they did well last year, like when they had really good form last year, he was one of their better players.
Yeah.
This game, they win a game against Carlton, and he was, you know, he was probably their best guy out there, you know, apart from maybe Jesse Hogan.
Yeah.
Who, shout out to him, 6 contested marks.
Yeah.
That's insane. And 5 goals. That's the Jesse Hogan that we saw in the first, you know, 3 to 4 rounds at the start of the season when we were really talking up GWS. Now he's, you know, he has that big game, you know. You know, now all of a sudden GWS look a bit more like a threat again. I guess they're reliant on their big guys, which is, I guess it's most teams, I guess.
I think their pressure is what set them apart that game. So, and their speed. Man, they have some incredibly fast players. Like even Bedford, I didn't talk about Bedford. Mm. Bedford really, like, he went to Walsh and Walsh had no answers. The other thing is Charlie Curnow, I was saying before the pod, got destroyed by Buckley. Like, destroyed. I think there was...
Right. By their second best
defender.
Defender,
but
yeah.
Crazy. I think they were saying some rumour that Curnow hurt his ankle in the warm-up. He wasn't chasing at all. Like, he looked so out of it, Curnow. I was like, Curnow, do something. To the point where I was like, bro, this guy has to be injured. Like, or like, someone's bullying him or something. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
That's sometimes players try to play through things. For me, if you're not at your best, as good as you are, like, just don't make play. Way.
He's had a very average season, Curnow, and he's still in the Coleman. It just sounds like
he just gets bags, mate.
Yeah,
he does.
Next game, we won't drag it on too much, but Freo belted Richmond, which I don't think anyone's surprised by. But what is surprising is Freo's now third.
Yeah.
And with a healthy enough percentage to justify their spot there. It's not just fixture friendliness or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, look, they've shown that they can beat, you know, teams when they need to beat them. They beat Sydney last week. Mm. You know, they're a shout this year, man. They're a shout. Like, I feel like throughout the ground, they've got options, you know, and strong options, you know. Decent ball users. We made, like, in the TikTok that did very poorly, we noticed that Brayshaw, he's top 10 in scoring involvements, you know. We don't really see him as that huge a damaging guy, but, you know, all of a sudden it's him, Sarong, Hayden Young's left foot, you know. Not even the rest of Hayden Young's body, just his left foot. You know, it's just, you know.
Well, the interesting thing with Freo is we've always said they need a key forward, right? And then they draft Jai Amos and we're all thinking, yeah, wait till this guy develops. But then just out of nowhere, Josh Treacy just comes along.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He's up there in the Coleman count. He's not going to win it, but he's one of the best forwards in the league by goals. And I think his accuracy, I was reading, was leading the league. Like, similar to how Larky's was last year. I think he's going at like 73%.
Oh, wow.
35 goals. Only 11 away from Curnow.
There you go. So, the fact that he's come on now and he's been consistent all year, and then you've got Amos there as the second and so on, makes them real dangerous, which they weren't in the past. And they can capitalize on that midfield dominance. And quite frankly, their halfback bounce and dominance as well is a big part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Treacy was a rookie.
When?
So it was his rookie elevation 2020.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so he was a rookie.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, man, to get a key forward off your rookie list is crazy, man. That's some great recruiting right there. And probably, you know, it's probably a lot got to do with him more than them, because they brought him in as like a ruck type guy. You know what I mean? Yeah, he'll fill in as a ruck, sometimes as a forward. But, you know, he's obviously worked on his game and worked on his body and made himself, you know, able to compete, you know. So, yeah, it's a huge credit to him.
Yeah. But, yeah, otherwise, look, Richmond, they're sort of bottom of the ladder now.
Yeah. Yeah. So are we going to predict they're going to be bottom? They're going to finish up at the bottom?
Yeah, I think it'll be Richmond Eagles North at this rate. Yeah. We're only one win behind the Eagles, and I think we'll touch them up in when we play them in a couple of weeks.
It's crazy because like for a worst, like Richmond being the bottom ladder, they're not a wooden spoon type team.
Look, you wouldn't have thought so at the start of the year. And even now, like you look at the injury list and that's your answer, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. Like you'd still go into a game against Richmond at the MCG and still have to play pretty hard to beat them.
Yeah.
And they're the worst, and they're the lowest team in the comp. It's crazy. Yeah. Such an even competition, man.
Mm. No, it is, man. It is. Like it's, man.
If you compare it to last year with West Coast losing by 100 points every week and were last.
Yeah, and then us as well.
Yeah.
It's all of a sudden, yeah, most of the teams have something to look forward to. I do think West Coast have reverted to being bad, to be honest with you.
I think,
Like the way, it's almost like with us, because we had a good finish to the season, then we ended up, you know, starting this season so poorly. I think they're in that phase almost, you know, where they had a nice little competitive period back to, you know, reality. And hopefully for them, they can get back into a competitive footy sooner than later.
Well, let's talk about that real quick because they're the next game. I don't have much else to say about Freo, right?
Yeah, but move on.
Did you guys see that text scandal that the Eagles, one of the Eagles players or a group of players were texting apparently, unnamed, about how they want Simpson gone, basically.
Oh.
And Simpson had to answer some questions about it. He basically said, look, I'm not going to be searching phones to find out who said it, but it's not ideal, da-da-da. For me, though, that's pretty crazy. It's one thing if it turns out it's like a guy that's not getting a game and he's just like, I'm deserving a chance, da-da-da. Mm. Different if it's like, Harley Reid, dare I say, I say some other young players who are the foundation of the club, like a Waterman or...
Did they say young players were involved in the texting or was it older dudes?
Don't think it was anything...
So nothing specific?
I think people don't know who it is. It's not like they're hiding it. I think there's just a screenshot and blurred out. But it's proven to be true, apparently.
One of those ones like, don't tell anyone that I, you know, sent you
it's
this.
It's one of those ones that you get from that guy at work. Yeah, it's like, my mate's cousin, those. Brother's friend.
My mate's, so my mate's involved with the club. And don't tell anyone I said this, but apparently that shit's so good, man.
But I love those. I don't know. That's interesting to me because they had a mini resurgence start of the year and you're thinking, okay, they're back-ish, you know, as a developing team.
Yeah. Look, actually, I did have one that I can tell you guys later, but like, just remind me.
But yeah, now they're sort of down in the dumps again.
I think it's one of those ones where, you know, there's a difference between a team at the start of the season and the end of the season. And they've just been beat up. And I think all of their momentum and their young players, they're tired. Their older players that have been really, really strong this year are probably a little bit battered up. And they just can't back it up anymore. And I think there were how many rounds left? 8 rounds or something like that. I think they're going to be pretty bad for the rest of the year, personally.
And what's his name? So McGovern, was he broke a rib? So they'll probably be really tented. Sorry.
Another player out of my team.
Sorry, bro.
I've got Miller, Gorn, and McGovern in my draft team. This is crap.
That is pretty bad. But yeah, no. So I don't know. They'll probably be tentative on, you know, getting him back into the side. Let's be fair. Like apparently they left him in Melbourne an extra day or two just so he can recover and, you know.
Jeez.
So it's not looking good there. Yeah, I think you're right. Bruised, battered, you know, run out of legs. And it makes sense because it's like you've got like 30-plus year olds and then you've got a bunch of 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, so
and Reid hasn't had a Reid game in a while to kind of inspire them.
Yeah, true. Well, look, he's been solid. Like he's, you know, he's doing his thing.
Yeah,
but it's not like, you know, he's not having Colby McKercher type games.
Yeah, true. true. No, hey, facts, man.
Anyway. Yeah, that's it. Someone had to say it, man. Someone had to say it. But look, interesting for Melbourne. So that we can't really take too much out of the victory for him. But they're still equal points with GWS who 8th. So you know they're going to be in and around the area. They lose Gorn, so I don't know how they're going to replace him for 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, who's their backup rock these days?
Exactly.
Is it
Bruce?
Bruce?
No. He was at GWS. No, he's long gone. Nah, bro. That was dumb.
Wasn't it someone from Brisbane that they recruited?
Yeah, they did.
One of the younger tools?
I can't remember his name, but no, it was like a forward / ruck, and he's probably going to have to be.
Are they going to do that, or are they going to do like a Tom McDonald?
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, but McDonald's been good down back.
Yeah.
I think you got to keep him down there. Yeah. Or wherever he goes, I feel like Tom McDonald, whether he goes forward or back, he's actually a very solid player.
He's a good swimmer.
Look, they're playing Van Ruin there a little bit, but he should be forward because as he showed in this game, he can get a bag when he's on.
He's a great young player. Mm. And you know what? Like the thing about him, he was drafted late-ish, like I think 20-something, 30-something.
Mm.
And it only took him one season in the VFL to become this player.
That's
and he
true.
looks the part and he plays the part, which is crazy.
Yeah. That's interesting because like the whole, you know, the old, you know, what's the word? Knowledge or whatever I was going to say, is that big players, key position players take a while
take
to
longer,
you know,
yeah.
Well, but him just straight into it, you know. Like
crazy.
So good on him, man. Maybe they gotta, you know, test him, see what's going on, you know. Has he gotten his body so ready? Or maybe, you know what, in saying that, these days I think kids younger are getting into bodybuilding and gymming and stuff like that. Yeah. So you would think maybe he's a young kid who, you know, put his time in when he was 16, 17.
Must be.
18.
Must be.
And he already had, you know, the professionalism must be there, you know.
Oh, fair play to him.
Yeah.
Want to give some flowers out. Mm. Trent Rivers. All right. This guy here, he's doing an Ed Richards, just decided he's a midfielder now.
Mm.
Dude had 29 touches. And I swear his last month of footy since Petrarca's been down has just been crazy in the midfield.
Mm.
Oh, look, modestly good.
There was one game where he dropped off, but the rest have been really good.
Yeah, well, he's getting over 24-ish disposals most games.
Mm.
But
someone had to step up.
Crucially on ball rather than his halfback. So the disposals may be similar, but he's got some dash to him as well. Like he can break away from a pack.
Mm. He's pretty good. You know who's not?
Who's that?
One of my boys.
Who'd have thought Clary, Rivers man. Is a better midfielder than Oliver right now?
Dude, Oliver is a terrible midfielder. How many possessions did he get, bro? Career low?
The thing is as well about it, right? Like his off-season was shambolic,
so
right?
14 disposals, 3 tackles, 57% disposal efficiency.
Yeah, that's like one quarter for him last year.
Yeah. And the thing is that sort of concerns me is like his off-season was horrible and don't know the details of exactly what he's going through, right? But clearly he's not the same player physically and he's not the same player maybe mentally as well.
Mm.
But I don't know why they're persisting with putting him in, like playing. Like he's clearly not conditioned enough. He can't, man, he could run all day in his career, right?
Yeah. And that's
his thing.
That was the thing that was impressive because at one stage he was just inside sort of, you know, dogging it on the inside. But then eventually he got to the point where it's just like, this is the dude who's, you know, making leads to get the ball out of the defense. Mm. And that's what made him so damaging.
Correct. And his disposal's never been his thing of like, this guy's a clean kicker, whatever. So he can't get away with it. Like an older, slower veteran.
Yeah, like a Petrarca could get
Pendlebury or Petrarca or any of these guys because you know that the skill never leaves. That's never been his thing. His thing is all engine and grunt and all that.
Mm.
And he just hasn't had it all year. And you just wonder like what actually happened and B, like should they just give him a break? I don't know. Maybe just another week off, not like a month or something. Just give him another week or two.
They will know what is wrong with him and they'll be able to make some judgment. But us, we have no insight.
Surely they track the GPS. Like even just watching the game, there's no way this guy's number. Like if you look at his career, it'd surely be like elite, elite, elite. And then this year, something's not right.
Yeah. Mm.
And they can see that, surely. Yeah.
Interesting. Like I think back to maybe a year or two ago, there was a quote. This is a quote from you, right? And this is a good quote, right? You called him, he's the perfect midfielder. I remember you saying that specifically, you know, because that stood out to me. Because I respect your opinion, and I think it's a fair opinion because at that time Oliver was the man. So look, weird this fall from grace, and you know, yeah. Hopefully, just hope he gets back to his best.
I think he will.
I hope so too.
I think he will.
Like, yeah,
I think he will.
But it's long enough, and the season's gone. Like,
because you would have thought that by now the engine would be back.
Correct.
Because you're getting the best type of practice. That's match practice, fitness.
Exactly right.
You know, it's odd. But look, they get a win and they get another injury to a key player. Like it's like, it's not great. Not great.
Actually,
for
just quick side note, did you hear Petrarca now had to have another surgery for appendicitis? Which is I haven't had it, but it's painful.
Yeah, bro, this dude, you know, maybe he just thought, you know, I've been through all this pain. Let's just continue it all now. And then I don't have to worry about it for a while.
Get rid of everything. Just start again.
Did they at least put him under this time or?
No idea.
You'd think so.
I don't know.
But then they could have said to him, oh, because you've just been freshly vaccinated again for all this random stuff, we have to do this. Like, you don't know.
Yeah, it's harsh.
You don't know, man. Shout out to him. Get well soon, bro.
He's had a hard run, man. Mm-hmm. He had this interview on Fox Footy. I think Neil was in it. Mm-hmm. And they just, so you know when they have like the two players from different teams?
Yeah.
And all they did was ask Petrarca questions and just Neil was just standing there the whole time. But like they were showing like footage of, he was talking about his experience and I was showing footage of him and how he landed and he's just like his whole body, it was horrific because I didn't watch that game. I didn't watch that game live, so I didn't really process what was happening. Jeez, man. That's some crazy shit.
Get well soon, man.
Yeah.
The next game, so you mentioned Chris before. He would have been a happy chappy on this weekend.
He had his bucks. He had
Saner's win.
That, yeah. And look, man, shout out to him, man. They deserved, you know, through the pain that he's had this year, because it's been a painful year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if any fans have copped it worse than Saints fans, considering the expectations to where they are right now.
I'd say they're the worst performing team.
I agree. But this week, and it's interesting timing as well, because not only was it his Bucks and whatever, but last week we put him on blast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but there's something was in me. I had to go in, mate. I had to go in, and we all just, you know, we fed off that.
It's the enjoyers. When the enjoyers
become haters, mate.
Shit on your team.
Shit on your team. They become good, and it happened. Yeah. It happened, man. Like, all of a sudden, and one of the dudes specifically that we gave shit about, 10 coaches votes.
Yeah.
10 coaches, Philippou, mate. 10 coaches votes.
He had a big game, Philippou.
Yeah. What? And you know what? Look, I had a little look at his VFL stats, and I guess it does make sense because he had 20 disposals plus in the last month of VFL football, and there was plenty of tackles involved in that as well. So obviously he's in form.
Mm.
So, mate, there we go. Could that be the dude who can hold on for the rest of the season and be a good midfielder, you know, to support the struggling Jack Steele? Like,
look, he's a second-year footballer. I think it's hard to rely on him. But yeah, he was pretty tough. Mm. He still had some moments in the last quarter he'd like to have back again. But he was definitely added a grunt that they didn't have.
Mm.
My question to the Saints fans and the Saints team is, where was that all year, bro? You just beat Sydney. You just beat Sydney, right?
Mm.
Well, like, they're not, and Sydney's two losses in a row, by the way. But this was a game where they started strong, then Sydney had their run. And I watched a lot of this game, but there was moments where I thought Sydney was going to take a run, and I kind of took a step back and just kept an eye on the score. And the score just never really went crazy. And then in the last quarter, you see the Saints coming back, and I kind of switched back on. And it was the most intense last 10 minutes of frantic St. Kilda pressure. I haven't seen them play like that for such a long time. And so many players stood up. Like, Wilkie was massive. But they just hunted and hunted and hunted and didn't give Sydney a chance. And then you see the last moment, Logan McDonald?
I know, bro.
Another one. Learn from your mistakes, big fella.
The funny thing about that, right, he marks it 45 out directly in front. And I loved his body language after it, because he just grabbed it, tucked it under the arm, pointed at the goals, said, I'm redeeming myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought he was going
to
kick it.
It was a half decent kick, but man, bad week to be Logan McDonald, good week to be Will Phillips as pick three.
That is true. Anyway, that is very true.
Do you see the Rowan Marshall kind of was going to kick that goal, and it kind of bounced out?
Bro, I was filthy.
Yeah.
One of the most unlucky. That's like, remember Robbie Gray for Port when he, was it Robbie Gray?
That sounds about right.
He kicked it. It was like center of the behind posts. And then it bounced back the other way.
I remember that. I think it was against Carlton. Something tells me.
Robert Gray always the shortest. I wouldn't be surprised.
He was so good, man. Thank you for bringing him up, man. I forgot about Robbie Gray. Robbie Gray. Third tall. I love him, man.
Robbie Gray, actually, he sacrificed. He's a bit like Toby Green, to be honest. Yeah. He kind of sacrificed his midfield career to be a forward.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so last week when we did go in at St. Kilda, remember when I was saying, what's happened to their forward line? Like, everyone's shitting on it, and for good reason. But where's, like, Higgins, we said, was doing well this year. But where's everyone else? You know, where was Dan Butler? Where's Membry? Where's Philippou? Like, Owens? Like, these guys all last year were great with their pressure and really, like, speedy getting out the back. And, like, I remember last year they were just getting goals in the goal square. Like, Dan Butler just living, kicking half his goals from right in front, right? Because they were getting him behind. So, interesting that King's out. And it gets to like this small ball sort of, you know, mosquito fleet, as they say in football more often.
Less predictable.
The Richmond type mold, you know, small forward line.
But no, I was sort of half watching this game, and there was that time in the third quarter where I've got it in front of me, right? So in 6 minutes, the Saints kicked four goals. Because up until that point, they weren't really a threat to win the game.
No.
And then so Heaney then kicks two in a row, and you're like, all right, three goals, Swans are up. And then, that last quarter was just insane.
Even Papley missed out on the full. Like,
that was crazy.
Dougal Howard, fell into the crowd.
Yeah. And it just looked like still Sydney was going to win, which is why, Logan again, man. Jeez. That's bad.
Yeah, well, I mentioned Dougal Howard. There was 5 seconds left, and Dougal Howard goes up with the bud rule. And there's 5 seconds left, and they're trying to set up their thing, and it's a stoppage inside 50 for Sydney. Chaotic, man, but good on the Saints. And Sydney, I wonder whether being on the top for so long, it makes you the hunted and people study you and maybe they peaked at the wrong time. I don't know.
I did raise this last week. I said, you said it. You were saying it's maybe the loss will do them good.
Yeah.
And you just sort of kind of said that for Carlton as yeah, well. But now they've lost two.
That's what I'm saying. The second
Carlton losing next week.
The second loss is the problem. Like yes. That's what I said. If Carlton loses the Dogs next week, you start to go, shit. If Carlton smashes the Dogs, you go, it was a loss that they needed.
What if they lose three in a row? Then the wheels are off.
Against North? I'd love that, man. I'd absolutely love it.
Would you, though? I don't know.
Nah, bro. The pod would be insufferable. Again,
come on, man. Everyone wants Sydney to fail.
Yeah, that's
true. Flowers to the whole Saints. Flowers to Chris Michaels. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
A better way to sum up that game.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. Look, I think, it was just a few role players, you know, or due to a bit more understated, like Sharman had a lot of crazy pressure acts and just the marking and just the willingness to fly and get his couple goals. Henry as well had a huge game. Yeah, he was very instrumental to them moving forward.
Yeah.
Look, we kind of forgot about him, to be honest with you, because he was a high profile pickup and everyone was, you know, were excited for him. He had an injury at the start of the year and now he's sort of found his spot, you know, in amongst their ball movement. So that's pretty handy.
Well, that's what you kind of expected, because they showed some signs of excitement last year and then they add Henry, like, oh yeah, that adds to what they're doing. And it just hasn't happened. So look, if they end the year strong, I think their fans can at least say, look, maybe it was just tactic change up, didn't click, King's out of form, and you can sort of look to next year with a bit of hope. But
yeah, true. Sinclair also missed a bit of time a bit earlier in the season.
Yeah.
He has found his feet properly. He's one of the most informed players in the comp as well. So
definitely.
Give him those flowers as well for Jackie Sinclair.
Yeah.
Look, I think there's one more game. Yeah, the last game. Another interesting game. Right at the end there.
Yeah, Adelaide just wouldn't go away.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
So credit to them for hanging in there. But man, their season's cooked now. Rankin's out.
Yeah.
Another loss. At the end of the day, it still was a loss. Rankin's gone.
Yeah. It's just would say Saints are most disappointing, but like these guys can't be far off.
Actually, you know, you're right, That's fair. And let's be fair, the Rankin thing, it didn't look, when you look at it, it doesn't look that bad. It's just a bump. But like the fact that he concussed the dude and, you know, because it was off the ball and it was, you know, it was a thug move. It was a thug move, to be fair.
No reason for it. So I guess that leans into the thugness of it. But
yeah, the thuggery.
The thuggery. look, that's probably the one silver lining this year, how good he's been. Everything else has been a bit of a disaster, to be honest.
I'm not going
to
add him to the thug list, though, you know, because I think he's a good dude. He'll be fine. There was a thug list that I had of sports stars that I thought were thugs, you know. Not based on any off-field stuff, because I'm not that type of guy. I don't judge people's off-field stuff, but on-field, you know. I'm sure if I could probably find it on my phone.
You might have
players, you know what, the players that I added to the list. One second.
I do a very quick, and I'm usually the last of us to do this, but a very quick super coach side story just for a second here.
Yeah.
So I'm playing a good friend of the pod, Nick Toots, right? And he's in pole position in this game. I've got left Zorko and Wilmot, who weren't playing well. And I think I had one more guy. Anyway, a couple guys that just weren't doing well. Mm. And he had left Hinge, who was doing very well, and McLuggage, who was doing quite well as well. And he's in pole position. Like, there's pretty much no chance for me to win. Last quarter starts, Mitch Hinge subbed off. I'm like, oh, okay.
Here we go.
But McLuggage was still doing too well. McLuggage goes forward, disappeared. I don't think he had a disposal in the last quarter. I win by 2 points.
That's crazy, man.
RIP, Nick does the season. Yeah. It's probably done now. I'm sorry, man. I actually felt bad.
He had a nice resurrection.
Oh, he did. And I just want to say to him, like, if he's listening, which I'm sure he will be, like, I was happy in the moment, but then I was actually like depressed for the next hour. Like, I actually felt bad for you, bro.
Yeah, that was tough.
That's from the heart, like, honestly. Nah. I felt bad.
Anyway. Shout out to Dudes. I found this list, right? And honestly, this list is actually disgusting. It's crazy. So what's the date on this thing, right? 18th of August, 2019, right?
Okay.
So I'm gonna say a few dudes, right? So Sport Thugs, Kawhi Leonard is one of them. That makes sense. He left my favorite team, right? Yeah. David Mundy.
Who was the first person?
Why is Mundy
on the skipping the first person. Oh, there's a first name on the list. The first name I said was Kawhi Leonard. He plays for the San Antonio. He used to play for the San Antonio Spurs, right?
Who's this kid?
So anyway, yeah.
Why is David Mundy on this list?
Look, I don't know. But like all these dudes, I take it all back. It was probably all Supercoach related, right?
Probably.
So David Mundy there, Angus Brayshaw there, right? That feels so wrong now. Jack Crisp. I don't mind that one being there. I don't mind Jack Crisp being there.
I think he's one of the better Collingwood players.
Are you sure? I'll explain to you later. Matt Crouch, and then in parentheses it says provisional.
Provisional thug.
I don't know what the go was
this
with that.
This is definitely Supercoach burn list.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Because I'll tell you the other two names I didn't mention, right? One was Robbie Gray. okay. who I love.
You just praised.
I love Robbie Gray. This is not a coincidence. This just came up, right? And then the name who's on top of the very list, I must have started this list because of him, Gary Ablett.
Gary Ablett.
Look, I'm not trusting any of my lists.
That
anymore.
Is the worst list I've ever heard. Man. Bro.
That's like he's got a short string for you, man. He'll blacklist you if you.
Oh, bro. Gary Ablett, mate. You upset me once.
I'm expecting like a Braden Maynard, like a type of vibe.
Nah. Look, now that I think about it, Rankin fits on that list. They're all guns, these guys. So, you know, he goes, he fits nicely.
Maybe that's your thing. Just call guys thugs when they're just that good of ballers, you know?
Yeah. You know what, man? You're going to be suspended in 4 weeks. You're in my super coach. Thug list.
There Throw we go. Heaney thug in there as well.
Throw Heaney. Just yeah, exactly.
You just made the list.
You just made the list. All right. Yeah, anyway, we'll move on to the
back to the game.
Oh, the game, actually, true. Yeah.
Lockie Neal, George was flagging a 200. You really wanted a 200 this week. You were wrong.
Well, I didn't get my Butters 200, so yeah, or my true. Rosie 200.
Lockie Neal was the last 200 player, wasn't he? Or was it Hogan just missed? I think Lockie Neal was the last 200.
I think he pulled the 200.
Mm. Look, against Collingwood, I remember
there's
that
been
game.
A couple of big. There's been a couple of 180s this year. Like Gawn, Tom DeConi, a couple. But yeah, it's hard to do. And champion data just don't give stats to players at the end of the game. Like I was watching Jordan Clark and Luke Ryan chip it to each other in the last quarter. And
yeah, hoping to get the 200 for Luke Ryan.
No, well, in this instance, they're miles off. But they just don't get any points. Like they're owed a mark and a kick. Thank you, Champion Data. Thank you, Hoiny from SEN or wherever you are. Give these guys his points.
Yeah, no, give them the points and stop telling us that random dudes are elite.
Yeah, stop telling me Jake Melksham is like the best midfielder in the comp or something like that.
Petrucelli is not the best small forward in the league. Like, settle down.
Petrucelli is just killing at the moment. Like, his two disposal game was as impactful as the two disposal game I've ever seen. When they used to say Gary Rowan is like the best 8 possession play in the game? Remember when they used to pull that shit?
Bruh, it was crazy.
Kind of is, to be fair.
fair. Nah. Look, if it's 5 goals, you know, and you know one of them is the goal-winning goal.
Gary Rowan's the type of guy that like does nothing all season and then kicks 2 crucial goals from 6 possessions. And,
in a
like,
prelim.
He's got the Jake Stringer, oh shit, my contract's expiring. Yeah. Let me kick it back.
True.
But no, well done, Brisbane. Adelaide, yeah, I don't know. I've got nothing to say.
Whatever, Adelaide. Yeah. Just go away now. Just
go away now. Just Dawson.
No ranking, no significance.
Yeah.
Guy that's disappointing, and I hope he recovers because he's an exciting player, Rochelle.
Yeah.
What's he done this year? Him and Owens, like these kind of guys who are really exciting, just flat this year.
Yeah, it's a 30-year blue. Is it 30-year?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Look, I guess you look better in a team when your team's playing well and then you kick those couple little goals and you do those little goal assists that help him win. And he's probably not really given that opportunity to do that and probably a bit of, you know, lack of confidence from the team being shit.
Yep.
So, yeah. But look, I just wanted to say Brisbane are 7th now. So, back in the 8.
Yeah. Is this the first time they've been in the 8 all year?
Good question. I can't really
I think it is, man, because they started the year like 0-3 or something. Mm. So I think it's the first time they've been in the 8.
Yep.
But yeah, I think they'll stay there.
Mm. No.
Fair enough.
That's fair. They probably will. And now it's just a question, can they sneak into the top 4 for them, to be honest with you. In saying that though, like they're not really putting away teams with that confidence that we'd expect. Like the last couple games for them, they've only just won, like against Melbourne and against Adelaide now. I don't know. So it's interesting to see how they go. So next week, who do they have? They have...
Do you want to just do tips?
Yeah, we'll do the tips. And they're going to smash you there, versing. But anyway, so we'll move on to the tips. And the first game is another Collingwood Friday night game against Geelong at the MCG. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Geelong are listed as 173 favourites, Collingwood $2.11, which is fair considering ladder position.
Gamble responsibly.
Yeah. No, I don't care.
I tried to be funny, man.
Can we talk just really quickly, actually? Matza had a cheeky little fiver on Malty at the North game.
Yeah, I did.
The one thing we're waiting for, you want to tell everyone, Matza?
Yeah, so it was something along the lines of like North to win, Colby 25 posies, which he smashed, Cherry 15 disposals, Nick Larky 2 goals.
A couple like that.
So all of them were good. There was one left. There was only a 5-legger, right? 4 or 5-legger. Eddie Ford to kick a goal and he hit the post.
And then he was running into the open goal and decides to pass it off.
I know. And it was a bad kick too. So look, that didn't take
anything away from the game. Like I didn't really care. It was literally, we're sitting on the chair and on the banner it said, what are you losing more? Or some, one of those, you know, one of those buzzword type don't gamble things. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put a bet on. So that doesn't work. Yeah. I think it's reverse psychology advertising. Yeah. So stop doing it.
Close. What are you really losing?
What are you really?
It's just $5.
Yeah, exactly. It's just $5. But yeah.
Anyway. Back to the game. All right.
Collingwood. Okay. I'm gonna go Geelong just so Dina can make the decision because I'm too scared to make a decision on this one.
I think Collingwood. I think it's too important of a game. They're out of the eight. If they lose this, then they'll make potentially like a clear game out of contending for the eight.
Interesting.
I think they'll win it.
I think they should win. But yeah, very even game.
Sure is. This next game, not so even because North are going to smash Sydney, baby.
Well, we're North playing about the SCG, right? George just said that second game you don't want to lose, which they did. Now, is it A, wheels are off, or B, North's going to get a hiding? Or yeah. C, competitive loss for North?
Or is there going to be some interchange shenanigans once again?
Oh, God. Let's not forget that, right? We had them cooked last year. We should have won that game.
Yeah.
But they're a better team this year, obviously.
Look, I'm happy to just be mature about this one. We'll just go Sydney and, you know,
to
take the central.
To be consistent with my roast of George before, I'm going to go Swannies. Because I do believe they deserve the tip. They're the better team.
Yeah. But there was careful consideration.
But I would say, yes. But here's the opposite rebuttal. I would say North deserves some respect to say this isn't going to be a 60-plus point hiding by just cause North's the worst team.
That's fair.
So it's like competitive 30, 35 point loss.
All right, that's fair. All right. So UTAS, Hawthorn versus Freo.
The UTAS.
Bit of a fortress.
It is a bit of a fortress. Look, I'm not going against Freo, man. They're a good team. So, and I think I'm surprised at the odds are that close together, to be honest with you. I think Freo should get it easily. But then, you know, I'm not good at tips. So I don't know.
I'll go Freo.
Yeah, I'll just go Hawks for fun.
All right, there we go. And then next week, told you they're good at UTAS. you're not that guy. You're not that guy, pal. Western Bulldogs versus Carlton now.
I think...
at Marvel.
I think we'll win this.
I agree. Think we'll win this. Yeah, I think you guys are the consistent good side, whereas Bulldogs, you know, they're on track for a second loss
if they play Bont up forward all game, then we'll just have our way with them.
You'll be just fine.
Look, if you want to do a caveat, I don't think this will be an easy game, by the way, but I expect us to win.
Mm.
And if they don't, I'll be extremely upset.
Mm. Yeah, that's there we go. Then we're going to get a wrath.
And then you're playing wrath. North the week after. Yeah. It could be wheels off at the Swans, aren't they?
And then that's the second week in a row that Carlton's versing, North is versing a out-of-form team.
Mm.
Ooh,
easy fixture, man. Easy fixture.
That's it. Finals from here from us. So next game, Adelaide versus St Kilda. That is an interesting game, I guess, you know, like St Kilda coming off a very strong win. But it's in Adelaide Oval, so.
I'm just going to go Adelaide because Adelaide Oval.
I'm going to go Saints because Rankin's out and they suck without him.
No, that's a good point. I'm going Saints.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to go Adelaide just so I can, you know.
Picking Saints at Adelaide Oval is the most ridiculous tip ever. But you're right about the Rankin. He is their guy.
He's
the dude. Yeah,
he's an
excellent player. Matt's tipping is just, how do I not look like an idiot compared to these two guys?
Yep, exactly. Look, I don't know. I find tipping hard.
This is the next one.
I'm not a tipping guy.
This is the next one, man.
Like my going first on this one.
This is the next one.
What's this? Melbourne versus Essendon.
Yeah, this is the one.
Essendon.
Yeah, I think Essendon as well.
Yeah, no, that's an easy one. Do I go first again, the next one?
Yeah.
Gold Coast versus Port at People's First.
Gold Coast don't lose at home, man.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't. So I'll tip them. They're playing away.
We're going to consider the fact that Port are actually a very good side.
I will say, though, Port deserve some respect.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go Gold Coast.
You know what this is like? Like an English teacher teaching you how to do a text response. And this is how you start the first sentence of your paragraph.
Mm.
What was the first sentence of your paragraph called? Did they have a name for
it? What did they teach you in English, George? You got to throw in the rebuttal paragraph to understand, to show that you understand the subject.
That's the third paragraph.
Your conclusion.
That is the third paragraph.
Yeah. You never gave us a rebuttal last week, bro.
Bro, you tried to get Dino there, but he rebutted you bad.
I'm not responsible for doing a rebuttal every week, man. I do rebuttal when I decide to.
Look, my rebuttal for Port. So I'm gonna go for Port, actually, to be honest with you. I think they're going to start hitting their straps, to be honest with you. Rosie and Butters are going to smack up Gold Coast. Because if anyone's going to do well under the dewy conditions, it's those beautiful midfielders, baby. So who'd you guys? Did you guys both go?
I'll go Suns.
Oh, there we go. All right. Richmond versus GWS. Giants. We're going to the Giants. We're not going to. Yeah, not go talk about that one that much more. And then West Coast versus Brisbane at Optus. We're going Brizzy.
Yep.
That's it. That last day. You don't have to watch footy after 4 o'clock. After the Gold Coast Port game finishes. That's the end of your day.
Yeah.
We can start the podcast at freaking.
Yeah. I don't even think you have to watch.
Plan your fun family day, your friends' day on Sunday because you're not going to be watching footy.
Yeah, exactly.
No, just quickly before we finish.
Yeah,
I was going to say this during the North bit.
Yes,
Paul Ruse, right? I was going to start the pod with this instead of my other story, but I thought I'm too much of in a good mood to talk about Paul Ruse. But this dude here, right? We know his history with the Swans. Excellent coach, premiership, missed out on another flag. And really had like built that Bloods culture that they live to today. Great coach. We know what he did at Melbourne. You know, sort of went in when they were down in the dumps, established the structure. Well done. Does anyone know what he did at North over the last 5 years, right?
Take money?
Took money to consult us while living overseas, right? Never stepped foot in the coach's box to help out. Never was around, apparently. And was part of the team that hired David Noble and was quite influential in saying this guy who's never coached before in the AFL level is the guy to help North stabilize, right? And you know what? At the time, we all sort of believed it, but obviously turned out horribly and set us back another couple of years. This guy, I don't know what his deal is this year. He's just like bitter for some reason against the club for maybe sacking him because he was stealing a paycheck. But he's done nothing but talk shit about us. And first half of the year, sure, everyone was kicking us while we're down. Like whatever, you take it. But now that we've shown good form, this guy's like calling in from Hawaii, like literally still not in the country, calling in, shitting on us in the form we're currently in, showing some promise.
Yeah, it's a weird time to do it.
Weird time to do it. All I got to say is like, don't ruin what people think about you. Like with Mick Malthouse, started talking too much shit. Now everyone doesn't respect him for what he was.
Lee Matthews, the same thing.
Lee Matthews, talking a bit too much shit. Everyone kind of forgets the glory you had. Mm. You're becoming one of those guys. Just if you got nothing positive to say about a good promising team, don't say it. If you want to shit on them when they lose, go for it. But yeah, just get my team's name out of your mouth if you're going to say that kind of shit, man, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, put a sock in it, buddy.
Put like, a sock in it. Just, you're in Hawaii. Just relax. Why are you so upset?
Calm down. Exactly right. See, that's the thing. We can't be happy, I think, as humans. Even if you're surrounded by paradise, you're still going to be just like,
oh. So you know what? North's looking promising. Yeah. I'm just going to double down and say that Carlton's reserves in the 80s can beat us. What a stupid comment.
That is the – honestly, like North's current team would probably beat the 80s Carlton team. First team. Like, you know, and I'm gonna do this, right? You know what this reminded me of, the Paul Ruse thing? You know Charles Oakley, who used to play for the New York Knicks, right? Yeah, so for people who don't know, Charles Oakley used to play for the New York Knicks in the 80s, a team that had Patrick Ewing. They were a decent team,
80s and
90s, all right? So, and he was the enforcer type guy, tough guy, but really not that good a basketballer. He just was a physical presence, big dude. He said that Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a freak, right? One of the best basketballers of all time, right? Mm. He reckons that he would be a six man back in the day. It's just the dumbest rhetoric. It's just like, look, the sport has come along so much more than what it was back in the day. The North players right now, they would run rings around those old farts who, you know, were working at Macca's on the weekend or during the week and then, you know, rocking up for their paycheck at the footy.
Yeah.
Let's just keep it. Let's be fair. That's just what it is.
I agree with you, but we'll never know for sure.
My opinion,
it's like an idiotic thing to even think about. Like, who thinks about that, let alone says it on the air? Like,
exactly. And Clarko said it well because he addressed it. He addressed the Paul Ruse comment and said, oh, it'd be stupid to, you know, for us to even try, you know, try to compare errors. Well said, man. Well said. I think, there's no way you can.
Maybe he meant... Cullen's current second team. You never know. Jackson Beans, man. Jackson Beans.
He's that dude, man. He's that boy.
Dumb comment.
Didn't expect to have to bring up Charles Oakley in a footy podcast, but there we go.
There you go.
Shout out to Charles Oakley.
Stupid. Like, if you want to, I have no problem just quickly comparing the premiership teams of back then.
Yeah.
Would that team's era be, like, it's a fun conversation.
Yeah.
But just idiotic to bring up North against Carlton's reserves. Like, why don't you say, like, North's team back then versus North's current team? Even then, it's a stupid comment.
Mm.
Just an idiot. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm happy we won after all that to just shut him up and everyone's sort of looking at him. Even non-North fans, like, you kind of botched that one, brother.
Yeah, maybe a journo came up to him and was like, look, it's been a while since I've written one of those Ruse says stuff about Ruse. You know what I mean? He just wanted another pun
you know, at the start of, you know, the article. So I'm like, bro, say something bad about Kangas. You know, maybe it was one of those things. You know what
He's
I mean?
He's definitely bitter at us for some reason.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Anyway. Just wanted to get that off my chest.
No, I like it. I like it. But yeah. Yeah. Big vibes. Big vibes otherwise, man. For North Melbourne. For footy. Right. For the enjoys. Yeah, I think we probably ended off there.
Let's do it.
That's it. Thank you guys for watching. Bye-bye.
Surging forward the Swans through Isaac Heaney. He puts a kick into the 50 and finds Logan McDonald. Shades of last week here. We had a shot after the siren against Frio. And he's going to line up. And he shanked it again. He's bottled it again. What's going on, Logan? That's why Will Phillips was taken ahead of you. Wowee!